Welcome to the Educause podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the Educause 2008 annual conference presented by Greg Brignac, manager of user support at Louisiana State University. The session is entitled Implementing Moodle at Louisiana State University.
My name is Carrie Walters. I'm the convener for this session. I'm from Louisiana State University, and I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker, who is also from Louisiana State University. His name is Greg Brignac. He's the manager of the Faculty Technology Center at Louisiana State University, and he was assigned to lead the customer service initiative of the migration from Blackboard to Moodle at LSU. So he is here to talk to us about that today.
Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? While we have a few people still filtering in, I'd like to invite everybody to move up to the front if you would like to, because I welcome interruption. If you guys have questions, don't hold them to the end, because I like to answer those things in context. And usually with a group this large, people are a little bit inhibited to raise hands and ask questions, but please don't be, okay? Just out of curiosity, how many people attended the pre-conference session given by LSU? A few people? Okay. Y'all received little care packages in that session, I think? I got to ask, they wouldn't tell me what was in them. What did they give you guys?
I think it was like jambalaya rice, seeds.
Okay. I kind of thought that would be the case. Exactly. That was Pam Nicole and Dee Childs that gave that presentation. And in Louisiana, it's all about the food. It's all about the food in Louisiana. Okay. I guess this is it. All right. Well, thank you all for coming. We might not have Moodle at LSU now if it wasn't for our food. True enough. Okay. A couple of years ago, our esteemed CIO, Brian Voss, and our deputy CIO for user services, Dee Childs, was employed by Indiana University. And they came down for a business conference for a couple of weeks. And after they were introduced to South Louisiana cuisine, they both started seeking employment and landed at LSU. Okay. Before they left, they acquired the code to a logic engine that was developed at Indiana University. This is a picture of the prototype, just a little homemade thing. Okay. And, of course, a little bribe did not hurt matters either. Okay, they were very well connected with the computer science department chair. And they acquired the code for this thing. And one of their first initiatives when they came to LSU was to have our developers adapt this code to run on our supercomputer. Okay, so now we have this logic engine running on our supercomputer. In order to really understand the dynamic of what we had to go through at LSU to migrate to Moodle, you have to understand a little bit about the previous employment, the previous environment at LSU. We employed two course management systems simultaneously. We had Semesterbook, which was a homegrown product, and we had Blackboard. So the question that was posed to us by our FITS committee, we also have a flagship IT strategy, we have a committee that was charged with choosing the direction that we wanted to go on campus with IT. And, you know, one of the things that they mandated, if you will, is that we needed to move to a single course management system. We needed a single CMS. Some of the instructors were using Blackboard. Some of the instructors were using Semesterbook. Some of them were using both. Okay. It was a very piecemeal type of environment. You can imagine that was confusing for the students at times. And both of these products had advantages and disadvantages. So the instructors would use each one for their advantages, and that led to a little bit of a broken environment. So the question was, all right, how do we move to a single course management system? What do we choose? Which one do we choose? If we choose Semesterbook, then that's going to pose a challenge to the Blackboard users. Okay, they're going to be a little peeved because they're going to have a learning curve, and the Semesterbook and the Blackboard people are not going to have a learning curve. And conversely, if we choose Blackboard, the Semesterbook people are going to face that learning curve. So, since we have this logic engine running on our supercomputer, it was natural to pose the question, what is the fairest choice? And the answer was that the fairest choice was to use a completely previously unused course management system on campus. Can anybody guess why? Exactly. Yeah, if you piss everyone off equally, then they can't accuse you of being unfair. All right? And we did ask what the fairest choice would be. So we chose Moodle. Okay, that's not really how it happened. We did have two course management systems that we used previously. And that did pose problems, as you can imagine. We do have a FITS that called for a single course management system, and we did choose Moodle, but that was actually chosen by committee. Okay, that's one of the important steps for any migration, is to get the customer base involved. The committee included faculty members. It included some graduate and undergraduate students, members of the student government, the student body. So they had a say in what we chose. And that's very important for buy-in, because anytime you go through a major migration on campus, if the customer base does not feel like they were participatory or had a say in the process, it's going to be a lot more difficult. Think of it this way. Anytime you do a migration, you are taking something away from the customer base. If you're migrating from one thing to another, okay, and obviously these products are not going to be identical or you wouldn't be switching, okay, then whatever differences there are, however minute those differences are, there's going to be something in the new product that you didn't have in the old product and something in the old product that you didn't have in the new product. Most of you, how many people are in user support? Okay, quite a few. That's probably why you're attending this session. You've probably experienced, even within the same product, a new version of Excel, and I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily Office 2007, but even between 2000 and 2003, within the same product, okay, you'll run into odds and ends that, you know, you could do X in the old system and you can't do it any longer in the new system. They always take something away because there are changes, and those differences. When you have a customer base as large as LSU and as large as most of the major universities on campus, there will always be someone that uses each feature. And I can guarantee you, whatever those differences are, however minuscule, okay, there will be someone whose the entire success of their online teaching and learning experience will hinge upon their ability to use that one thing that you took away. Okay? And it doesn't matter if you were replacing it with equivalent technology. It doesn't matter if you were replacing it with a better solution. Okay? Whatever that one thing is that you took away, there will be someone there that really, really needs that technology. And in their opinion, their whole success or failure hinges on that one thing. For example, in Moodle, all of the course content is arranged on the front page in topics. That's it. Right? The idea is simplicity. In Blackboard, you could arrange content in folders, and actually the folders could be nested. So on your desktop, you can have folders, and within there, you can have more folders, and you could place content as deeply as you wanted to. That was one of the complaints that has been levied, and this, you know, talk isn't to bash Blackboard. It has its advantages and disadvantages, of course. But that is one of the complaints that has often been levied against it, is that the materials are hard to find. Now, instructors that use that feature, they don't see that their material is hard to find. Okay? Why not? Think about that a second. Whoever arranges this, whoever creates the, you know, think about the collapsed folders as sort of an outline, okay? Whoever creates the outline, it makes perfect sense to them, okay? Whether that logic eludes the student or not is another question. It may or it may not be logical to them. So it was a common complaint that materials were difficult to find in Blackboard. Many people feel that the way that the information is organized on the screen in Moodle, therefore, is an improvement. It fixes a problem. But for the instructors that use folders heavily, they just lost a feature. Okay? They just lost a feature. And they think of it that way. Now, when we migrated to Moodle, it was the first time that we had ever migrated our course management system from one thing to another. Semester Book was introduced first. It was a homegrown system. And they, you know, the faculty body went from nothing to Semester Book. So previously they weren't using a course management system. If they wanted to use Semester Book, they were free to do so. They didn't have to. When Blackboard was introduced, and there is a story behind exactly how and why a second course management system was introduced at LSU, but whatever the reason, when Blackboard was introduced, Semester Book was not taken away. Blackboard was simply added. Okay? So once again, the customer base didn't lose anything. Okay? When the FITS plan called for a consolidation or a move from multiple course management systems to a single. It didn't mandate which one. Okay, that was chosen by committee. But when it mandated that we move to a single campus-wide course management system, automatically that meant that we were taking something away from the faculty. In assessing which course management system to choose, and there was a very extensive process by which that was done. There was a committee, there was a pilot program that I'll talk about shortly, and a lot of course management systems were assessed. Moodle was assessed, Blackboard and Semester Book were both assessed. In addition to that, we considered Angel and Desire to Learn, and possibly did we assess Sakai? I don't remember if we assessed Sakai. Okay, so six course management systems at least were considered. We had to look at the functionality that was available to the faculty members by both of the current systems, by Semester Book and Blackboard. And one of the issues that we ran into when Semester Book was written, since it was a homegrown solution, it was written to interface with our grading system, which runs on a mainframe. At LSU, our registration, our billing, our grading, all of that is done on a mainframe. And if any of you have any experience with that type of environment, everyone's mainframe is unique. No two mainframes are exactly alike. And you will not find a commercial product that will easily integrate with your mainframe, okay, because it's such a unique environment. So Semester Book was written to do that. The instructors could post grades electronically. Right? This was very, very useful for instructors that had large classes. When they taught a class on semester book, they could use the online testing, they could use the online grading book, and then at midterm and at finals, when they had to submit their grades, they could do that electronically instead of having to go back in and manually do that, introduce, you know, opportunity for human error, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So that was a huge feature. Once they have it, okay, they don't want to lose it because they come to depend on that, and that's understandable. Right. So we needed something that would allow them to continue to have that functionality. We also needed to be able to write the piece that handled student registration. With Blackboard, there was a, I'm sure a lot of you do, use Blackboard at your institution. Okay. Okay, good. So Blackboard, you're probably familiar with this then, uses a process called Snapshot. All right? And Snapshot is the way that the students are enrolled into the course. Okay, so whatever registration system you're using, it outputs the information to a CSV file, and then you can import that CSV file essentially. When Snapshot runs, it sucks that information in and enrolls the students in the course. That's about the extent to which Blackboard was integrated on our campus. The gradebook, there was no way. I mean, you can't get to the code. It's proprietary. It's closed. There was just no way to do that interface. Okay? So one of the advantages to using Moodle is that we could write that code. Also, we found there was a great deal of dissatisfaction with the gradebook in Moodle out of the box. Okay. And that's something that even the Moodle folks recognized. So there are probably going to be still further extensive major changes to the Moodle gradebook made by Moodle developers in the near future. However, again, because it was open source, we were able to write our own gradebook and just plug that module in. So these are the types of advantages that, you know, these are the benefits of using an open source product. By the way, I'm not championing the use of open source or community source products over commercial. I think that when you assess a product, if it's the best fit, it's the best fit, whether it's commercial or open source. In this case, the advantages of open source outweighed the disadvantages and vice versa. So we wrote an entirely new gradebook for this. Also, the import and backup features were highly modified. We didn't rewrite these modules from scratch. But what we did do was we modified the code so that it was a lot more automated, and the faculty members didn't have to be responsible for as much. The courses are automatically backed up in our implementation. And other features were modified just to reduce the steps that faculty members have to take. So when they import a course, only the essential choices show up. Okay, Moodle has a lot of features. If there's a disadvantage to Moodle, it is that it has so many features and there are so many things available, there are so many things on the screen that it can be a little confusing or disconcerting for the faculty member. So we were able to remove a lot of those extraneous choices and features and buttons on the import. All of this was possible because it's an open source product and we were able to extensively modify the code. Another challenge that we ran into is that, you know, we had these faculty members who had a lot of time invested in their Blackboard and semester book courses. A lot of these faculty members had huge amounts of data in their courses, a large number of files, in addition to having a large number of files, the size of the files does make a difference, because if they were to start from scratch with Moodle, when they import these files, if they had to import every individual one, it takes a lot longer to import these files. And, you know, all of that is a hindrance to the faculty member. They didn't ask, you know, to change course management systems. They were involved in the process, but the fits called for this change. Right? So, you know, that change essentially was handed to them, and they want to just continue on with teaching. You know, this is time out of their lives, time out of their jobs. So it was deemed necessary to perform conversions on these courses. Obviously, with semester book, it's a homegrown product, so we had to write the converter for this completely in-house, and we did that, and it worked pretty well. Okay. With Blackboard, we actually collaborated with University of California in San Francisco. They had written a converter that also worked pretty well to convert from Blackboard to Moodle. Now, Moodle, out of the box, did have a feature that would allow you to import a Blackboard archive file. And it worked moderately well, but it had its limitations. The converter that UCSF had developed and shared with us freely was better. Okay, it had more functionality. It allowed you to map exactly what materials you wanted to pull across and where you wanted to put them in the Moodle course. Okay, so you could sort of arrange the content in the course in the converter tool and then pull that information in. There were still issues, as you might imagine, and we were able to resolve a number of those issues ourselves. Again, the converter was open source, if you will, community source. And so our developers were able to dispatch some of the remaining problems and share that converter back with UCSF, for which they were very grateful. And we have since, you know, collectively shared that converter with other universities. That is a good example of how the community source model is supposed to work. Okay, even though we're just talking about the converter at this point, that's the sort of interaction and one of the advantages of open community software. Often you can get things done more quickly, actually, than if you had to submit certain changes to be made to a vendor, to a proprietor, and wait for that to rise to the top of their development list and for their developers to make those changes. So sometimes you can dispatch problems more quickly with an open system. Now, conversions are never going to be perfect. Again, we're moving from one product to another product. They're not identical products. So the resulting Moodle course is never going to look exactly like it did in the old product. I mentioned the folder example already. Okay. There were a few faculty members at LSU that threw up their hands and said, if I can't do folders on the desktop, I can't use Moodle. They were that entrenched. They were that dependent, or they thought they were that dependent, on that one feature. Okay, so this is one of the things that you need to be prepared for. When you undergo any migration, these are the types of resistances that you're going to run into. And we ran into them. In a lot of cases, we were able to find a workaround or help them to rearrange their data in a way that was acceptable. And in a few cases, I still don't think the faculty members are acceptable, but you're always going to have that percentage continues to find difficulty with the one or two things that are different in your new system. So just be prepared for that when you're undergoing a migration. A lot of people are migrating to Moodle right now. And that is probably one, I mentioned the folder example, because that is probably one that you will run into. Okay, so the support model, which is what I was really asked to speak about today, was a little bit of a unique event, if you will. Basically, we took 13 members of our user support team, our user support department in ITS, and these folks have had regular duties other than Moodle, okay, and they agreed to work on the Moodle conversion project. And we basically carved up the university. We contacted every department, every college. Okay. We started off by emailing the department chairs and the deans. We also emailed what we call the technical contact folks at LSU. And this is traditionally has been sort of an informal network of people. Many departments, if not most departments on campus, have a person that is knowledgeable about technology and that people just sort of migrate to when they have computer questions. It's their informal internal support person for technology. And we recognized that at ITS. We recognized that as a valuable resource years ago. And so we started meeting with these technical contact people. We even have a website where you can sign up to be the technical contact person for your department. It's not a formal title. There's nothing official about it, if you will. But it is an extremely valuable resource. Carrie Walters, who introduced me, is the technical contact person for the College of Business. That is a very large college on campus. So we made sure that we leverage that. Also, we work very closely in conjunction with the IT faculty liaison, who is Randy Hall. Is Randy here? Hey, Randy? I don't see Randy this morning. I thought he was going to attend. The IT faculty liaison is a position that our CIO created when he first came to campus about 2 years ago. The idea, and this is an official position that was created, the idea is that, you know, ITS needed a direct link with the faculty body. We needed to be able to communicate with the faculty body and understand what their concerns were and have them understand what our concerns were. And that communication was lacking in a lot of different cases between IT and the faculty. So this IT faculty liaison position was created for that purpose, and we worked very closely in conjunction with Randy during this migration as well. We have currently over 1,750 faculty members. That includes adjuncts and instructors, not just professors, but we have over 1,750 faculty members. When we divided up the campus, each of the points, well, approximately each of the 13 points of contact, were responsible for one large and one small college. That's just sort of the way it worked out. In a few cases, we had to team people up because the college was so large. So that's not a rigid number. But essentially, that's what we did. We carved up the university, and everybody took a large and a small college, and that person became the point of contact for those colleges. It gave every department, every college on campus, a live person to email, to call on the phone, to talk to about Moodle. We even offered to meet individually with each and every faculty member if necessary. Okay. Which it was kind of there was a little disbelief about that when we first offered that. It's sort of like overbooking an airline flight, or a better analogy is, you know, if everybody picks up the phone and calls someone at the same time, it's not going to work. If everybody did that simultaneously, forget it. The system can't handle that. But that generally doesn't happen unless you have some sort of a crisis. So we knew that not everybody would take us up on the offer to meet with each and every individual faculty member. But we did want to meet with as many people face-to-face as we possibly could. And that face-to-face contact is crucial. Okay, we needed to engage them. We're all so interrupt-driven in our lives that it's critical to engage these people early. Typically, you know, if we send out notifications, if it's too far in advance, those notifications tend to get ignored. Okay, they just want to deal with it when it's time to deal with it, just in time. So we offered a large schedule of training, both on general use of Moodle and a specific training course just on the gradebook. Okay, the gradebook has probably been the biggest challenge that we faced throughout the entire migration. Number one, we changed in the middle. Okay, so we had some issues with the built-in Moodle gradebook, the native gradebook, and we wrote our own module, and so that was sort of a live change. And there were some other issues that we had to address that required us to make what I like to call live changes, meaning that the semester was going on and people were using Moodle, and then we had to change something midstream. Okay, so, you know, it was very, very important to try to engage these people personally and keep them notified and keep them involved. What did we offer as POCs, as points of contact? What did we offer the faculty body? What did we offer our customer base? And our support was primarily focused on faculty. We have found, even though we did offer some student training, we have found that the students are much more able to adapt to a system. You know, when a student comes to LSU and it's their first semester, before the migration, a faculty member is using either Blackboard or Semester Book, and a freshman comes in, you know, the question in their mind was not immediately, well, how is this student going to figure out how to use Blackboard or Semester Book? Okay, it was just the way that they taught. When we migrated to Moodle, one of the big concerns that kept cropping up with faculty was, well, how are students going to learn how to use Moodle? You know, it's different now, okay? But the fact of the matter is, students are used to using web pages. And as a student, there's not a lot that you can really do wrong, you know, when you go in, say, to take an online quiz. You don't have very many choices, okay? The faculty member has to set up the test. They have to set a time limit if they want a time limit. They have to put in all of the questions, the grade points. You know, the burden of technical usage is on the faculty member. So our focus was almost exclusively, not totally, but almost exclusively on the faculty. What did we offer them? We offered a huge amount of training. We scheduled 6, sometimes 8 training sessions a week for the entire spring semester. And then that continued on into the summer, and it continues this fall semester. Throughout the entire migration, we offered this training. Attendance was really, really light in the beginning of the spring semester, spring of 08. And, you know, it picked up right toward the end for folks that were going to be using Moodle in the summer. And then it slacked off again. And then it picked up again right at the end of the summer semester as fall was approaching. And then it slacked off again. Okay, so these faculty members were wanting to just come in, take the training right before they were going to begin using the product and then move on. That is the expectation, whether it's realistic or not, and it is understandable, okay, but, you know, whether that's a realistic expectation or not, that's the type of expectation that you'll face if you're doing a migration. Phone support. We have a call center currently. At this stage of the migration in the spring, we were operating as simply points of contact, sort of an informal group. We gave everybody our phone numbers. Each individual person, you know, it was that point of contact was the person they were supposed to contact. Now, with our Faculty Technology Center, we have a call center that you can reach by dialing the help desk and choosing option number 1. Okay, that's something that we're trying to promote very, very heavily. And, of course, we offer one-on-one in-person consultations. We would go out to their office if they wanted us to go to their office, or if they wanted to come to us, that would be fine as well. But that was probably the thing that was most effective and least utilized. Okay? And that's a significant statement. When we were able to work with a faculty member one-on-one, we found that there were usually 1 or maybe 2 main concerns that they had, the things that they could do before that they need to be able to do in Moodle. That's it, 1 or 2 things. And if they weren't able to figure out how to do those things on their own, whether or not they attended training, okay, because not everybody will, right, I'm guilty of it. When I sit down to use a new software application that I've never used before, I launch the thing and I start clicking around and trying to figure out how to use it. Okay? First thing, that's the first thing that I do. So it's the same situation. They were used to using something. They wanted to just go into Moodle and use it. If they could figure out how to do those things, great. If they could not, then you know that they suffered a high degree of frustration with that. And when we were able to have one-on-one in-person contact with these people, almost every time we were able to dispatch those concerns. And you know, at the end of that session, at the very least, the reaction was, "Yeah, okay, that's not too bad. I can do that. I can handle that." Okay. At the best, they really liked it, and they really embraced it. And, of course, again, with a large institution, you're going to have reactions across the board. Okay, but we have had overwhelming success when we have been able to have personal contact with the customer. So that was what we really pushed. You know, and again, that was the least utilized form of support that we offered. Okay, we also developed a Faculty Technology Center. It's located in our main library near our information commons that all of the students use, and also near the coffee shop. That's important, too. And the Faculty Technology Center is available, you know, for faculty to just walk in. They can call at our call center, or they can make an appointment with us. So the FTC was sort of an extension of the POC model, which worked really well. Okay. And the idea was to give them a permanent place to come get that individualized attention. One of the biggest challenges to the FTC is getting the word out and advertising that. We put it in our emails. The IT faculty liaison tells about us, and you know, we advertise and so on and so forth. But it seems that there's still a significant portion of the faculty population that is not aware that they have an FTC that they can go to in a library or call, and we'll go to them. It's still new, of course, but that's been a big challenge that we faced at the FTC. So just to pull all of this together in sort of a timeline for you guys, 2008 was basically the year of our migration. Okay, we actually started doing development at the end of 07, but the first customer to really use Moodle, our pilot group, was at the beginning of the spring 2008 semester. During that semester, we conducted our pilot, and we also focused very, very heavily on doing conversions. Okay, we did every conversion that we could possibly do. We contacted all of these departments, and we attempted to get feedback from as many of them as we could regarding what courses they wanted converted. Okay, in a lot of cases, they had Blackboard or semester book courses out there that they had not taught in 10 years and were never going to teach again. Okay, so it was useful to get the information from them regarding, you know, all right, I want these three courses converted, but these two you can leave off. But it was much more important, than being efficient and only converting the courses that needed to be converted. The most important thing that really did, the conversion process, was it established that interaction. It established a relationship and a rapport with the customer base. It engaged them. Okay, and again, that's very important. Despite our efforts, there still were those faculty members who did not attend training, did not get word from their department chair or their IT, their technical contact, or maybe their department didn't have a technical contact, you know, maybe miscommunication within the department. They didn't get the word, okay? And in most of those cases, what we were able to do was just convert all of their courses. But regardless of whether, you know, regardless of the conversion process, you know, if you imagine from this faculty person's point of view, they show up, you know, the next semester. Now, at this point in the spring, they still had their Blackboard and semester book courses, but they now had these Moodle courses that they didn't know anything about, okay? And, you know, they didn't know how to access it. They didn't know how to use it, you know. I mean, their thought was, what is this and why do I have it? Okay, so without that engagement, it was a lost cause, so to speak. Right? During the spring 08 semester and the summer, the points of contact, the POCs, met weekly to discuss the problems they were running into. We identified problems with the converters that were subsequently repaired, and then we had to reconvert certain courses. Okay? These 13 folks converted approximately 2,500 courses, actually in excess of 2,500 courses during the spring semester alone. Okay, I say approximately because, again, it was really more than that because we had to do reconversions when we ran into problems and situations like that. So, you know, the number one thing that we were trying to do during the spring semester was get the courses converted, both Blackboard and semester book, and to engage the faculty members. Yes.
What percentage of all courses converted were done by the faculty versus done by you?
A very small percentage of courses were done by the faculty. It was technically possible in both cases, Blackboard and semester book, it was technically possible for the instructor to convert their own courses. A few of the faculty members that were really gung-ho about doing this, enjoyed technology, wanted to try new things, managed to do that, and it was okay. All right? Yes?
What was their expectation as to who would convert the courses?
We managed their expectation in such a way that, you know, they knew that we would convert the courses.
Did you encourage them to convert their own courses?
In a few cases, we did. Each of the points of contact was free to handle the way they dealt with their own college or their own department, however they chose. The dynamic of the department was different in a lot of cases. There were different size departments. Okay, so in very large, in a couple of very large colleges, there was the POC chose to make a greater effort to encourage those faculty members to perform their own conversions. By the way, this is Sherry Thompson. She works at LSU, and she is our PR person, and she was heavily involved in the process. So naturally, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also the planning director, so we did the strategic plan that came up with this brilliant idea to have a single course management system. We had gripe sessions before we actually started the migration process where faculty would come in, they would sit like y'all are sitting, you know, harumph a whole lot and talk about, you know, I can't possibly do this, I can't possibly do this. Our CIO had all of the POCs in there. We are prepared for an avalanche. I mean, we were like, okay, we've got to do this, so it has to be done, we'll do it. And that was our basic thought. It wasn't like, oh, we have 13 people who, if we say 24 hours a week will be spent doing this. We didn't do a mathematical equation to go, oh, yeah, we can do this. It was just, it's got to be done. There wasn't a maybe about it. So we had these gripe sessions, and our CIO was like, look, we're going to help you. That person right there is going to work with you, hand in hand. We'll get you through this. And those people actually became advocates for us. And then once they knew how to do it, they could help their colleagues with the process. So there was the converter was a useful tool because we could just dump everything into their new environment. But actually getting faculty to navigate that new environment meant going in and saying, okay, this is what you do with this, and here's how you do that. And the faculty became proponents of that aspect of support.
The conversion wasn't avalanche. It was getting people to actually use the product, which was the avalanche.
Yeah, I'll get off.
No, I'm interested to know if your question was answered. I think what you were leaning toward was how did we choose whether to attempt to get these faculty members to do their own conversions or choose not to do that and just do them ourselves? Okay, I got you. Here's the thing about the conversions. I mentioned the UCSF tool that would allow you to actually map the content and I'll just focus on Blackboard rather than semester book. Semester book was an easier migration, but you had less options as to what that resulting course would look like. Okay, so in the Blackboard migration, you had that ability to map it, how the resulting course would look. We did not have time to go into each Blackboard course, look at it, and then use the tool to try to make the resulting Moodle course look as close as it could possibly look to that Blackboard course. And this is ignoring the fact that they're never going to look identical. Blackboard has the folders, Moodle just has the topics and no subfolders, et cetera. But you could get close, okay? We were doing so many conversions. What we knew is that we could do the conversions. We knew that we could get the courses converted over to Moodle without the faculty having to do anything. We knew that we could do that up front. What we were not able to do was customize the course very much. So in a lot of cases, what we did was we just had all of the material dumped into the first topic or the first week in the Moodle course, and then the instructor had to go in and move those materials around and arrange the course that they wanted to, the way that they wanted to. Okay. Now, that had this whole scenario has advantages and disadvantages. Number one, we've talked to some universities that, smaller universities, that when they migrated to Moodle, they just turned the switch. You know, I mean, we're using Moodle now, and everybody had a blank course, and they all had to go in and recreate their course from scratch. Okay, and pull in all of their files and all of their materials again, all right, that they had spent a lot of time doing in the previous course. And therein lies the problem. Again, this was our first migration. Prior to that, we didn't have, this wasn't a concern because they had nothing to begin with. There was nothing to pull into the new system. The only way that they had to do it was from scratch. Okay. If we were to just turn the switch in that fashion, That would have caused a lot of resentment. That would have, you know, raised a lot of concerns among faculty, and understandably so. All right. So we knew that we could do all those conversions. We also knew that a lot of these faculty members wouldn't be completely satisfied with just having everything dumped into the first week. And that was a complaint that was levied. However, what it did do was it further engaged those faculty members. They had to begin using Moodle to arrange the course. They had to become exposed to it and do something with it prior to the time that they actually started teaching in Moodle. Okay. That is important. I mean, even though maybe they didn't like it, again, that exposure was very important. Now, when these courses were converted and everything was dumped into one place and they had to start moving these things around, we received a number of complaints about that. And in some cases, the faculty member, I'll give you one specific example. Faculty member called in and they said, everything's just dumped into 1 week. This is useless. I just want to start from scratch. Can you just delete this Moodle course and give me a blank course and I'll start from scratch? And my response was, yes, I can do that for you. However, if you start from scratch and you individually import or create each content item, and I basically counted the clicks. It was like, you know, 7 clicks per content item because they had to browse their, or maybe more, you know, 9 clicks per content item because they had to browse their computer, click on the file, upload it, put it into the course and, you know, in the correct location, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas if you just move the items that are already in the course, if you just move them around, it was closer to 3 or 4 clicks. So whichever one is easier, I will help you do. Okay. However, it's going to be more efficient if you, you know, if you just move the items around. So I'll walk the person through moving a few items around. Once they were comfortable with it, they said, yeah, this is better. I'll just do this. And they were moderately satisfied with that. Okay, that's probably the best example that I can give you about what the reaction to these conversions was like and what we knew we could deliver and what they expected. I mean, ultimately what they would have liked is it was just a perfect conversion and all they had to do was log into Moodle instead of Blackboard and teach their course. Who wouldn't want that? But that's not really a realistic expectation. And so we tried to manage their expectation in such a way that you know, they knew there was going to be a little bit of work involved on their end to begin using this new product. Is that closer to the... Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Anytime we were able to meet with these, all three forms of support were available the whole time. They could email us. They could call us on the telephone. In a lot of cases, we contacted them if we had an issue with a course or whatever the case may be, and we would meet with them. Either we would go to them or they could come to us. That was available during the POC stage, and that's still available now during the FTC, the Faculty Technology Center stage. I would call it 100%, okay? The only argument that it wasn't 100% is that a lot of these POCs did have other responsibilities in addition to their POC duties, but their POC duties overwhelmingly were what they worked on during that period. And now that we have the Faculty Technology Center established, the people who are working in the FTC, that is their entire job. So it's 100% in that regard. Okay. All right, it's 9 o'clock, so I need to get to the summary. I will take your question immediately after. Just come up to the front, and I'll answer your question, anybody else that wants to. So to finish off the timeline, the Blackboard contract on campus ended at the end of the spring semester. So at that point, the portion of the faculty body that were using Blackboard had to begin using Moodle. The folks that were using Semesterbook could continue to use Semesterbook until the end of fall 08. Okay? So at that point, one of the old CMSs was gone. Okay? And so that portion of the faculty had to begin using Moodle. Everything worked fine during the summer semester regarding registration, all of the modules that we had to write and modify, all of that worked fine. And when we got into the fall semester, and it was a much larger enrollment, of course, more students and more faculty were teaching, we had more students enrolled, we started running into some problems with the enrollment process, what we call the course preferences system. And so that introduced some changes that had to be made live. Okay. Also, however, at the beginning of the fall semester, the Faculty Technology Center opened its doors. And so, you know, again, they had support all along through the POCs, but now they had an established place that they could come to deal with these issues. And our life became helping these faculty members with these Moodle issues. Anything that was any problem that they had, okay, they could call on us and we would offer that support, right? So Moodle was available campus-wide beginning in the summer of 08. All right, the pilot ended at the end of spring, and Moodle was available campus-wide, but we still had those semester book users that elected not to migrate until the fall. And even now, we still have some people that are using semester book. Next spring will be their first time using the system. If that seems a little bit strung out, okay, we really probably could have taken even more time if it was feasible for us to do so. We didn't have a choice with Blackboard because of our contract situation. We would have had to pay for an entire new year with Blackboard, and a lot of the money that we used for that we recuperated from that contract was used for the FTC and to be able to offer that support. Okay, so that's the reason why the timeline kind of looks the way that it does. Okay, I've actually sort of covered this screen. We have full coverage at the FTC, and we have a call center so that faculty can call in or walk in anytime, and they can reach us by calling the help desk. We have our own email address. Basically, we're available, and they can reach us any way that they really need to reach us. Okay. To summarize, the things that I would, a lot of you are here because your university is either in the process of migrating or thinking about migrating to a new system, regardless of whether it's Moodle or not. The things that I would stress that we have found just from our experience in doing this migration is to be prepared to provide support for the changing functionality. This goes back to if you're migrating, you are taking something away from the customer, something somewhere. Right? We actually told the faculty body, you will be able to do everything that you could in the old systems plus stuff. Okay. And we strove very hard to make sure that that was true. You're never going to get 100%. There's going to be something, such as the folders or whatever the case may be. There is going to be something that you're taking away from them. And there will be that portion of those faculty that, for those people, that's critical. or they think it's critical. So be prepared to offer some sort of support for the changing functionality. Engage the customer as quickly as you possibly can. The less this is, you know, the migration is a bomb that's dropped on them at the last minute, even though you attempted for it to not be a bomb dropped on them the last minute. The sooner and more heavily you can engage the customer base, the better. Devise methods for building familiarity. A lot of this has to do with, you know, in some cases, there's a functionality issue. In other cases, it's just different. It's just different. Has anybody ever attempted to help someone switch from WordPerfect to Word? Not quite as many people as I had thought, but that is an incredibly frustrating support task, especially when the person doesn't want to switch. All right, when their department said, all right, the whole department's going to Microsoft Word. I mean, that is an incredibly frustrating experience for them. They usually know how to do the word processing. It's just unfamiliar. They don't like to have to click in a different place. They think they don't know how to use the software, and that's not true. Okay, so there's the unfamiliarity factor, plus there are those, you know, few elements that you're taking away. So the more methods you can devise for building familiarity, the better. Offer a training course in Moodle on how to use Moodle. Then they have to get familiar with it. Okay, the conversions. They had to move the stuff around before they started teaching. Anything you can do to help build familiarity. We have a welcome course that is basically a training course and a faculty forum where they can discuss their problems and their use of Moodle, and that is conducted on a Moodle course. So they have to use Moodle to use that resource. Anything like that that you can do, every bit of that helps. Use formal and informal support structures. Our faculty IT liaison has been crucial, and so have all the technical contacts in all of the departments. Utilize those. And, you know, again, as far as our pilot is concerned, bigger and longer is better because we ran into that capacity problem during the summer or at the end of the summer where we thought the enrollment piece was working fine. And then when we got into the fall and we had a lot larger enrollment, the scale introduced those problems. Okay, so, you know, the longer and bigger your pilot is, the more problems you're going to identify and be able to correct up front. And finally, the most important thing is face-to-face contact is crucial. When my boss and I get back from this conference, we're essentially going on a crusade to try to personally contact as many departments and as many faculty members as we can. Again, there's over 1,750 of them. Are we going to be able to get to every single person? Well, frankly, no, but we're going to try. Okay, because in those cases where we've been able to do that, that's where we've had the biggest success. Okay, I'll take all questions up front. It's after 9 o'clock. We have to wrap up, but please come up to the front and ask me questions. Thank you.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference Podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Outsourced hosting of multi-format digital media content is available from Real's own CDN, the Real Broadcast Network. Information at rbn.com.